I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're broadcasting live today from member station KWMU in St. Louis, Missouri. Later in the program, for our Faith Matters conversation, we'll speak with a former U.S. senator who is also an ordained Episcopal priest, John Danforth. We'll talk about the role of religion and politics together. That's a little later. But first, who better to welcome us to the Show Me State than Governor Jeremiah J. Nixon? A Democrat, Nixon was elected to his post last November. He'd previously served as the state's attorney general. Since then, Missouri has been hit hard by the economic downturn. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, unemployment is at 8.7%, and even more people are going without health insurance. To talk about all this and his plans for the state, Governor J. Nixon joins me now. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Well, welcome you. Welcome your show, and it's great to have you in the Show Me State.
Well, Governor, can you just school me, just to be sure we're on the – I start off on the good foot. Am I pronouncing the name of the state correctly? It's Missouri, right?
Well, see, it goes both ways. In fact, the press has been on me about this. I pronounce it both ways myself. In fact, when I took the oath of office, I said both Missouri and Missouri, apparently. So I've been getting heartily mocked for not being able to pronounce my own state. But it goes either way in the state of Missouri.
So you're going to give me a pass to go either way. Thank you. Okay. I feel better. And, of course, Governor, last week President Obama visited your state on his 100th day in office. Before his press briefing that night, he made a stop in a suburb of St. Louis for a town hall meeting. Here's just a little short clip of what he had to say.
Today, on my 100th day in office, I've come back to report to you, the American people, that we have begun to pick ourselves up and dust ourselves off, and we've begun the work of remaking America.
Do you agree with that?
Well, I really do, and it was good to see him in my home area. He came to Jefferson County here in Missouri to announce his 100th day. And I do think that while the economy is feeling a huge level of stress and so are people, that the opportunity for transforming the economy, moving to the future, is still sticking in people's brains. And I think we're ready to move this country and the state forward.
One of the president's biggest initiatives in his first 100 days, of course, was the stimulus package. Is your state getting any benefit from the package? What are you using the money for?
Well, first of all, we've been heartily working to try to make it into a recovery, to use the resources the federal government has provided us, not only to make sure that we don't have to cut vital state services like health care and other things, but equally importantly, use it to jumpstart our economy. One of our programs we're really excited about is our Next Generation Jobs Team, which is a summer jobs program for youth between 16 and 24 that'll hire about 6,000 kids across the state of Missouri in new cutting-edge jobs and give them internships to move forward the state and give them the view of what it's like to work in these emerging industries.
What's a cutting-edge job?
Well, working, for example, at Burns & McDonnell, which is a Kansas City engineering environmental firm that designs wind turbines and things of that nature. Things like high-end healthcare. A lot of the hospitals are involved in some of the experimentation that they're doing, and the healthcare there is very, very important.
I understand, if I have this right, that you were considering using some of the stimulus money to cover a budget shortfall. Do I have that right? And is that consistent with the intent of the stimulus package?
If you divide the stimulus package into two different pots, you see that what's called the stabilization part and the stimulus part. The stabilization part is actually designed to help states make sure they don't have to cut health care or cut education this year. And we're using those dollars to make sure that we maintain those services. So, yeah. Then the other side of it is the stimulus part, which, like this Next Generation Jobs Team, is designed to help jumpstart this economy and move it forward. So we're using both different pools of resources.
And speaking about a job that I think most people don't really consider next generation, maybe current generation, and certainly very much a part of the historical legacy of so much of the country, of the auto industry. Chrysler, of course, as you know, is filing for bankruptcy, planning to close a number of plants throughout the country. One of them, as I understand it, is in the St. Louis suburb of Fenton. That facility employs 1,200 people. How is the state going to handle yet another hit for employees? And what do you say to a lot of the auto workers who, as I understand it, are very annoyed because they feel they're really angry because they feel that there's been one standard for kind of white collar workers like in the banking industry. And they really do feel that they've been held in part to a different standard by the country, that there just seems to be less concern about their plight. I wondered if you share any of those feelings.
Yeah, I share their deep concerns. I mean, these are, especially here in Missouri, these are some of the most productive facilities in the country. And on every sort of production metric, our factories have delivered well. It's just a drop in demand for those products that have caused this short-term challenge. What we're doing is we're not sitting still, though. We've put together a next-generation Auto Task Force. We've also worked a deal to get electric vehicles built over on the Kansas City side. It'll use a working with Ford and Smith vehicles to begin to transition this new economy. So we're actually working hard with them. And then the lithium battery producers, we're working hard to try to expand those programs at all. Also, so while we have significant short-term challenges, our goal is to try to get the domestic auto industry going again in Missouri and with these new products.
Do you have any input into the decisions that are being made in Washington about the auto industry as a governor whose state is affected by this?
Well, I've talked on these matters with the administration all the way up to the very top when the president was in, expressed the concerns that we had, as well as the auto task force there. But here in Missouri, we're the show-me state, and we feel like we got to make sure we're taking care of ourselves and getting going. So we've been working on job retraining. I spoke at a dinner of Boeing employees. A number of those employees, those machinists, used to be auto workers and have gone through a job training program we helped put together with the community colleges so that they could then get another job working right in that same community. I think part of our responsibility is to make sure we get job training for folks that are out of work so that they can transition into new careers.
If you're just joining us, I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with Missouri Governor Jay Nixon. The state's budget is nearly complete. We were talking about that a few minutes ago. One of the big bills still pending, as I understand it, is the expansion of Medicaid. This has been a big part of your agenda, and it's certainly a concern of governors all over the country. There's a proposal to extend Medicaid to 35,000 poor working parents. How can the state afford this?
Well, we've negotiated with the Hospital Association for them to pay the state piece of this, to pay the $52 million so we could then get the federal match. So the state would actually have to pay nothing here. This would cover 35,000 working adults, and we think would be a dramatic step forward for the state of Missouri. I'm proud of the deal we've been able to work out with the Hospital Association and hope that the legislature works with me to make this reality.
And, you know, you're in the crossroads of so many national issues, immigration being another. There's a bill pending that would bar illegal immigrants from public colleges and universities. It passed the House, but there's a vote pending in the Senate. Where do you stand on this?
On things like health care and on things like emergency care, I think we need to be especially sensitive about not making folks show their ID if they're in a car wreck or whatever. But as far as the limited state services that we have, I do think that making sure that those limited state services we have are available for people who are on a pathway to citizenship, are citizens, are very important.
Well, what do you say to those who say that some of these kids were brought here when they were 1 or 2 or 3 years old and certainly had no role in the decision? They've gone to Missouri schools their whole lives. This is the country that they know.
Well, I think that we're trying to recalibrate in this entire country to make sure that we get a fair sense of who's here and get to a process to get folks acclimated and made citizens where possible. And I think that with the limited resources we have at the state level, the most important thing we have to do is take care of the folks that are here. As I said before, in health care and things of that nature, for emergency care, that's one thing. But when it comes to higher education, I think that requiring them to be have the level of certainty that this would require, I think is important.
You really are, as I said, in the crossroads of a number of issues, all the trends, all the issues that everybody's dealing with nationally, you're all experiencing there. And one of them is this whole question of political transition. It's the very definition of a swing state. In November, the state swung Republican for presidential candidate John McCain. It was one of the closest races in the country. And, of course, you're a Democrat. And we're going to be talking to former Senator John Danforth later in the program. One of the things he's talked about is his regret that there's sort of a divisiveness to our politics now, a sort of a hyper-partisanship that he wishes would not be the case. But other people say, well, that's just our system. What do you think?
Well, I'm always disappointed in hyper-partisanship. I won with almost 59% of the vote. McCain won Missouri. I have a legislature that's a Republican legislature. It's been stressful to me on many occasions that people don't give you a clean read. They sometimes worry about whether they're riding a donkey or an elephant to work instead of getting to work. And from my chair, I think the people of the Show Me State elected me to bring people together, not to divide them, especially artificially, just by party. And I'm hopeful that we can break down these barriers, but we got a long way to go in this state and this country before we succeed.
What do you think would move that process along?
Well, I think the people. First of all, I think demanding from their government and demanding from their elected leaders that they have reasonable discussions and listening to those discussions instead of just focusing on a 20-second soundbite or a negative. Unfortunately, there's so much cynicism around that it's hard sometimes to have thoughtful, deep discussions about where this state and where this country need to go.
Does the media play a role in this?
Yeah, I think the drop of the media. I mean, when I started in the state legislature 20 years ago, we had many more papers, many more TV stations, many more radio stations, many more reporters. Now, as you see, the difficult time, both the Post-Dispatch and the Kansas City Star have ended their metro section, so you just have one section in those papers. You have radio station closing and merging. The bottom line is that while the internet is out there and information is available, the number of discrete media outlets has certainly dropped, and that's made it difficult for those in the press, I think, to have the resources to cover us adequately.
And finally, Governor, I'm going to put you on the spot. I have a very important final question. You ready?
Fire away.
Both Missouri's Major League Baseball teams, the Kansas City Royals and the St. Louis Cardinals, are leading their respective divisions. Who's going to end up with a better season?
You got to go with the Cardinals. I'm from, born and raised on the St. Louis side, and while I certainly respect our great friends in Kansas City and I'm a great fan of the Royals, I just think that when it comes down to the long stretch, that the great rich tradition of the St. Louis Cardinals will carry them all the way through.
Well, spoken without hesitation. Bold leadership there.
There we go.
Jay Nixon is the governor of Missouri, and he's given us permission to pronounce it either way. He was kind enough to join us from his office at the Capitol in Jefferson City. Thank you, Governor.
Thanks, Michelle.
As I mentioned, we are broadcasting today from member station KWMU right here in St. Louis, Missouri, and we managed to have a few adventures outside the studio as well. If you'd like to see pictures and read our blog about our St. Louis journey, please go to our website, the Tell Me More page of npr.org.